All right, welcome to Down by the Bank, sponsored by Brewers Pizza, Orange Park, and Clay County's only brew pub. This is Corey.
Hey guys, what's up? It's Derek.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's JK3.
So we had a lot of feedback about JK3's intro from last week. We decided, just to hold a little press conference here, have him comment a little bit on what happened. You know, he didn't do a real good job on that intro. It's kind of broken up a little bit. So we really got to hear, from his perspective, what he's thinking about that. So JK3, do you want to share a little bit?
Hey man, as long as I'm here, I want my dogs the ball. I want to make sure that you got the best podcast. The intro was, hey, God's gonna take care of it. God's got me, right?
There are some F-bombs in there.
Oh my gosh, man, this has been the worst. Probably 72. I don't know how many comes after 72, but probably the worst, like, was that 96? Probably 72, 96 hours of probably my modern, like, Jags history, man. That's
my life.
Bro, yeah, my life.
Yeah, it was pretty bad. I mean, I don't know, Derek, did you watch the full press conference? Because that was maybe one of the most horrible things I've ever seen in my life.
Dude, so when you look at it from a perspective of a maturity and you want them to take you seriously, I hate to say it, man. Hey, I've rocked with Jalen Ramsey since the minute he stepped on FSU's campus, man. Didn't even, know who he was. And dang, man, who is this guy coming out of nowhere? You just set yourself back. I don't care how much trade value you're worth or how much money you're expecting to get on your next contract extension. You set yourself back, man. You really did. Think about how you were acting up on that podium, man. Come on. Like, you expect them to take you seriously? Even if Marone did get in your face and whatever, which we'll get into all that here in a second, but come on. That's terrible. That's absolutely terrible. Now, I'm not siding with one or the other, because I think we just need to blow the whole thing up. That's just my personal opinion, and just start over, take the stash and just go with it. But jeez, man.
Yeah, I want to know whose idea that. Like, I know we texted about it. Was it the agent or something? I just can't picture them sitting in a room and saying, "Hey, I got this great idea. This is what we're gonna do. We're gonna have a press conference, and you're gonna go up there and basically make a fool out of yourself." Because I don't know how anybody thought that was a good idea at all.
You give the guy the microphone, and you don't know what's gonna come out of his mouth, and you don't know what he's gonna say. You don't know what he's gonna do, but you give him 5 minutes to kind of really just say that. And the bigger thing that Ramsey could have done, and I think this is the only thing that I disagree with him on, and like Derek said, we'll get into it, but the best thing that he could have done is got up there and just done a Marshawn Lynch. Just answered, just had a statement for every question they had. Everything's fine with me and Doug Marone. Well, Jalen, I saw everything happen on Sunday. How's your chemistry with the team? Everything's fine with me and Doug and Marone. Something like that. You had the opportunity to really just go in there. But really, that was like the egg that really, if you read between the lines and read between the obscenities, you really just saw that this was kind of like all right, see you guys later. This is my last, this is the last hoorah. Because he's not going to get an exiting press conference.
Yeah. It's just a horrible audition for other teams that might want to trade for him. I mean, that's what I mean when I say how much thought went into this, is because if I'm one of the teams that potentially is interested in him, maybe I have a little bit of, I'm thinking twice about it after the game Sunday with the confrontation between him and Marone. Games get emotional. Maybe I'll let that go. But then he does that press conference, and for me, it's out at that point, because his maturity level just was completely on display.
One of the craziest things is, how did this spiral out of control so quickly? And I guess it didn't. This has been building up. People have, speculated that scheme, and this dates back to that game that we don't like talking about in the past. The fact that, the AFC Championship game and Marone's not listening to them and all the guys are gone and they gave Bortles all that money and other people are getting paid and all this stuff. But it doesn't matter, though. It doesn't matter. Like, you still, you know, he still has a lot of fans on his side. A lot of fans are still hoping that this ends up working out. But I hate to say it, I don't think it is. I don't think it's working out at all, man. It's just done. So it's going to be a tough pill to swallow. Hopefully we can get some draft picks. You know, hopefully we get some decent draft picks for it. It seems like the asking price is extremely high, and which it needs to be. But the Jags were, you know, dumb enough to let him get up on the podium, and he was dumb enough to act that way. So let them all just be dumb. Let's just blow this thing up and try again, man.
Ridiculous. Like blow up, like you mean like rebuild the team?
Yeah, no. Khan's the only one that stays. Everybody else except for Foles and Minshew, everything else is expendable. Everything. Everything.
That might be extreme.
Like front office, get rid of Caldwell, old Winthrop looking self. Get rid of Marone, get rid of Coughlin, get rid of all of them. Just try over, you know, try it again, start over.
Well, it's a lose-lose situation. From a perspective of you're about to lose, you know, probably the best defensive player in the history, someone with the potential to be the best defensive player in the history of our team. So you do that, and then also, you know, you're losing that, and then from the fan base and the fan perspective, you know, we've been waiting for a player to catapult us into the national spotlight, someone to do the commercials, someone that's going to be a Pro Bowl caliber, and that's been all pro, that's played all pro, that's done everything he needed to be, and you know, we're about to lose him as well, as far as a fanhood goes and a fan perspective. So franchise loses, you know, one that potential player that you have, and then the fans actually lose, you know, kind of like an identity and someone who they can kind of band with as well, to kind of bring relevance to your team. So, and then you got the fans kind of in the middle. Just like, you know, hey, at the end of the day, I'm going to be, you know, a Jacksonville Jaguars fan of the team, and, you know, not to try to get emotionally wrapped up in a player, but at the end of the day, you know, I'm still going to be a fan of this team. But the current regime right now is making it so hard to become to be a Jaguar fan, like just making it hard. And you know, that's the worst part about it, man. Just being stuck in the middle of knowing what's best for your team. And, you know, what your team is going to, you know, ultimately do. Because you can't fire Marone and fire Caldwell and fire Coughlin and keep Jalen Ramsey.
Mm-hmm.
You can't do that because that just sets a precedent for when the next regime to come in, that if I'm not on, if number 20 isn't on, if I'm not on his side, then there's a chance that I could probably lose my job. Case in point, you know, it's kind of like the same thing with LeBron. Mm-hmm. You know, if LeBron doesn't like you, you're getting out of there. And granted, NBA, NFL is completely different, but it's still, you know, that same kind of, you know, mentality. And then if you let Jalen go, which is probably going to happen, and now you've got a divisive locker room because you've got the players versus the leadership, and you know that's not going to work either.
Yeah, no, I mean you're right. You might as well just name him the GM and the head coach if you keep him, and let everybody else go. You know what I mean? It's the same difference. Yeah, I just saw on Instagram he's completely purged the Jaguars from all of his social media pictures, mentions, everything, follows.
Yeah, he did that a couple days ago. See, that's the maturity thing right there, man.
That is so lame.
Yeah, man, that's some high school boo-boo stuff, man. I don't get why you go through all that just to, you know, you sat there and took the time to go through every single picture and delete it. He must have been hot. He must have been mad. Not for the fact that he did it, that he actually sat there and took the time to do it.
Like it's that, so lame, though. Yeah, just like you said, it's like something my daughter's in middle school. I mean, that sounds like something that they would do. You know what I mean? Her feuding with like some other little, you know, girl gangs or cliques or whatever you call that nowadays. Hopefully they don't have gangs.
he still does have some, you know, some maturing to do. I mean, there's definitely that. I mean, he's an emotional player. He plays, you know, with a chip on his shoulder, but he does have that emotional factor. And, you know, that's kind of like his gift and his curse. You know, 3 years back, he's on the sideline crying because he just wants to win, right?
Yeah.
And the cameras are on him. You know, he's got that emotional, that thing and everything else like that. Go to 2017. We're going to the Super Bowl and we're going to win that. And everyone loves it. Everyone's screaming, ah, the T-shirt. It's on T-shirts and everything else like that. And now fast forward to this year, he's not being put in the right position. He's not being used a certain way. He's not getting paid, number one. We're not winning. So, of course, now here comes the raw emotion of I'm ready to leave.
Yeah. But he definitely walks a fine line between passion and passion and immaturity.
Being obnoxious.
Yeah, he definitely has a fine line between those two. I mean, and he's been like that for the longest time. I mean, there are so many stories of him getting kicked out of FSU practices that I've heard before. So, but the biggest thing when you look at this from a coaching staff, coaches aren't just paid to coach; they're paid to manage personalities. If you look at the good teams, if you look, you know, we always bring up the Patriots because guess what? They keep winning. So we're going to keep bringing them up. Look at the Patriots. Look at Belichick. Look at how well he manages the personalities. And he's got the biggest one of them all, you know, Tom Brady. And I'm not saying Tom Brady's not, you know, he's not a problem child. I'm not saying that. But he still, you know, he knows he's good. And that's, he's managing that personality to the point where, yeah, Tom Brady's one greatest quarterbacks to ever live, but if you ever look at some of the film that they show during the preseason, Belichick's still out there, still yelling at him, still telling them what to do. That's what I'm talking about, and he's doing it in a way that there's still a respectful coach-player relationship. That's how all the good teams that have those types of players that get you to that next level of winning, you have to have that. Mm-hmm. So we don't have that. Roland, and the way you can tell is, you know, multiple reasons. One, like JK3 said earlier, you got players in the video telling Marone to get back to the sidelines and coach.
Yeah, what was that about? Was that what they were doing? Was
never seen that. And I asked Derek, and you know, and if anyone else that has seen something like that before, it's crazy. I've never seen, and it's so funny because Sunday happens, and you see them. You see him arguing, and you see Jalen barking at the sideline. And I don't know if it was maybe one of those things where it's like, you know, him just screaming to the sideline, you know, maybe, you know, hyping up the secondary, just saying, yeah, you're right, keep throwing it my way, doing his typical Jalen thing. But the more times you go back and actually watch the tape, you really realize that he's actually yelling in the direction of Marone or Walsh, you know, as well. So, of course, they have their words and everything else like that. And then he comes over, and Jalen, he shouldn't have put his hands on Marone. Mm-hmm. That's one thing he shouldn't have done. I don't want anyone that listens to this podcast to go to your work or your job and put your hands on your manager and see what happened. Because, at the end of the day, that's still his boss, right? And then Marone comes back over to the sideline to finish it, and then you unanimously have a position group standing up in front of Jalen and telling the coaches to go back the other way.
Yeah, that's a problem.
that's what I'm saying, man. That's what, like, it stinks. It sucks so bad. But when you have that type of unity, and then the Jags on the other end are also painting, and they're not the Jags per se, but people are painting Jalen to be the villain because he's requesting a trade. And they're saying that there's a bad locker room. It's bad for the locker room because of his personality and his brashness. And the locker room is united around him. You know what I mean? So if you fire Marone and fire, you know, some of the front office and keep him there, now you've essentially got a mutiny.
Yeah. Where are the priorities at, though? Like, they're united about around him. I mean, I get, like, maybe the camaraderie and friendship part of it, but what's the objective? I mean, I don't understand. Isn't the whole point of all this to win and, you know, I don't know, win football games? Like, what are they united around? Shouldn't they be united around the team doing better and everybody being cohesive and having good rapport? You know what I mean? What does that even mean?
You would think so, but you got to look at the timeline of events of how close they were and how, you know, how close they were to getting to reaching their goal to how far they've fallen off in the shortest period of time possible.
Bad.
Like, terrible. And then, I mean, I have my opinion. People, you know, everyone has different opinions, but I've mentioned it before. Like, the draft picks that we've blown, the guys that we signed that we shouldn't have, the guys that we cut that we shouldn't have. We all know who they are. We're not going to go down the list for the 5,000th time. But think about that as a player. So you're telling me, dude, I've made 2 Pro Bowls, been all pro. I got everybody saying I'm top 3 corner in the league. Half my buddies are gone. They gave an extension to somebody who hurt us. Like, every game, pretty much. And you telling me that I can't get paid? And so then that goes to the other parts of the team. You know, other guys are sitting there like, why don't you pay him? And then, you know, then you're like, man, they ain't going to pay Yannick. They shortchanged him. They gave Miles that money, and that's my dog and everything. You know, and then I'm just thinking, you know, out loud, like how they would think. That's my guy right there. But, man, how come we ain't getting paid? Like, what do they mean?
Mm-hmm.
That's just a big pile of, you know what, that started off like a pebble, and it is rolling down that hill, man. Rolling down that hill. So, and then there's the philosophical things with the defense that they, you know, the whether if it was the cover 3 zone or the, you know, the 4 deep that they were running in that AFC championship game, you know, they never forget. Or, you know, they started off the season last year 3-1. People forget about that. Look, they were 3-1 last year, and it just has been on a nosedive since then. All that stuff, man. You got all those things. It's just piled up. And who knows? And these are the things we know and speculating. What about the things we don't know? Like, I'm sure there's some in there. There's got to be some arguments in some team meetings or, you know, Marone did probably try to pull him into the office and talk to him before all this happened, and they probably left shouting at each other that we ain't ever going to know about. I guarantee you something, not that exact thing, but something like that has probably happened before.
Yeah.
I like not just with Ramsey, but with other people too, other players too.
I like when they would try to ask him for like specifics on their relationship in the press conference. He was like, I know what you're trying to do, and I'm not going to go there. I'm not doing it. You saw that?
I'm not going to give you what y'all reaching for.
Yeah, that's what he said.
So, but you got to look at it this way too, man. This couldn't have come at a worse time. We're getting ready to play a team that we just can't beat. And it's a darn shame too, because, you know, with Foles out, we thought the season was lost, and we got us a 6th-round pick that I don't know about you guys, but I was on, you know, a little bit of the edge of my seat on that last drive. I'm like, he's gonna get us in, man. He's a gamer, bro.
Oh yeah. I mean, Sunday was one of those things, and I don't understand why they won't let Minshew loose, is because the passes that he's thrown, the decisions that he's made, besides him fumbling the ball and holding on to it, that'll grow. He's got to get that pocket timing down, like to know and that feel around him when he's about to get, you know, collapsed on. But the throws that he's been making downfield have been accurate as heck. I mean, they've been there. So you got to turn this guy loose. You got to let him throw the ball. This isn't Blake anymore. You know, you got to let him throw the football. You got to give him the confidence. And I'm sitting here Sunday on the edge of my seat. And when you it hits different when you lose because of coaching.
Mm-hmm.
When you don't lose because of a play inside of the field, but when you lose based off coaching. And granted, I went on Twitter and I said I loved the Gopher 2 call. I still do love it, but I don't love you giving the ball to Leonard Fournette tiptoeing who hasn't done anything all game. And those are the type of decisions, man, that have really just led to and just have stacked onto each other that have led this franchise and have led to where we are right now. Those decisions, those no-brainers, where It's like, all right, we're gonna go for two right here. If we're gonna win the play, I'm gonna run a draw. Oh, hey, let's draw this up. Draw out of the shotgun. They'll never see this coming. A draw out of the shotgun that you haven't that you ran and you haven't had any push on the line at all. You haven't had any. This quarterback's got more rushing yards and half the attempts than your running back does right now. And hey, we're going for two. You got the signal up holding the two. Hey, and the call is shotgun draw for net. They probably were like, what?
And then like Minshew's dad, who was up in the crowd, you saw him. He's probably so pissed.
I mean, you see Minshew, he probably put his hands over his helmet again to just be like, wait, no, the crowd isn't loud. I just need to make sure I heard what I heard. Coach, you said draw. Shotgun draw for net. Okay. All right. Hey, guys. This is what we're getting. This is where we're going to the ball. I mean, it's wild, man. It's crazy. I cannot believe that. And it just stinks so bad actually watching your team lose because of a coaching error and not because of a quarterback.
Yeah, Derek, would you have gone for it? I mean, I think my thing was I like playing it safe. I would have kicked the field goal because it seemed like we had all that momentum anyway. But were you a fan of it?
No, and you know what? That would have been the safest route because of the fact that the defense was playing so well. Deshaun Watson wouldn't get nothing on us. I don't know where that was. Deshaun Watson wouldn't get nothing. And Jalen, once he calmed down, that secondary, they were really getting after it.
Dude, but to stop you really quick, I'm not to cut you off. I just thought of something really quick. But remember earlier in the week, they were saying that Jalen was mad. And the reason why they had the beef with Marrone and Jalen was because of a challenge play. There is no way a 3-yard challenge for DeAndre Hopkins is what led to this. There's no way.
That was just a tipping point. Knows? Maybe Hopkins and Jalen had a little wager. If Hopkins caught one pass, Jalen had to give him 10 grand or something like that. You never know. Like, you never know those things. So,
what was the thing with the zone versus man thing? Somebody was saying, or I guess they were asking him in the press conference if that was one of the reasons that he was upset. Was that something that potentially could have been
set them off? So, when the Jags get in trouble, and they've done this historically, when Marrone gets a little bit scared, he jumps back into a 3-deep zone. And Jalen, although he could probably play anything, he's a press man guy. He likes to get up in dude's face and go man, like usually cover one or cover two all day. And if you ever notice a lot of those interceptions that like Gibson had when he was here, the ones he didn't drop, where they were in a cover two man or a single high safety, and Jalen would tip the ball to try and get them to pick it off. So it's kind of how he plays. It's, to be honest with you, I think that's when he's at his best. But sometimes the coaching staff, they'll drop into that cover three. And, yeah, if you face a rookie quarterback, you know, they might, you know, try to figure it out. You can disguise it a little bit. But most of the guys that are seasoned in the NFL, they'll pick a cover three apart.
Exactly.
Yeah, they'll pick it apart in a matter of no time. So that's why they get frustrated because, he feels like he's, you know, more of a man, press man guy. But I tell you, I would have – to be honest with you, if he did go for two, they should have faked the ball to Fournette, rolled Minshew out to the right, and gave him one, maybe two looks, and basically said, okay, there's the two looks. If it ain't there, you got to get there. I could have lived with that. Had we lost that way and he didn't make it, or if it was incomplete, I could have lived with that.
Absolutely.
But because we lost it in such a crazy way, It's a very difficult decision because in some form of fashion, maybe he was trying to spark some energy into the team, win the locker room, you know, try to win the game as opposed to tie and go to overtime and let it drag out with some dumb rule to end up losing. But it's a tough pill to swallow, man. And you know, a lot of those players, you know, when you get those competitive spirits going, some of those guys are ultra, ultra competitive. Like, when they start losing, they start acting out. We see it. It's evident.
I agree. It's just crazy how it was to that point where they said that it was, you know, the reason why they got into the scuffle and the reason why the tempers were flaring is because Marrone didn't call the challenge, which it wouldn't have gotten overturned because DeAndre Hopkins there wasn't conclusive evidence to see that the actual ball hit the ground. So, and again, there's no way that was done. But Derek, like you mentioned, man, that zone is what gets this team into trouble so bad, is because with a zone defense, it's all about passing someone off to someone. You know what I mean? And this defense doesn't do very well passing anyone's responsibilities to someone else's zone. In my opinion, zone only works when a quarterback is not reading a defense and when they're trying to run everything based off timing routes. If he's not even looking at the defense, he automatically knows one or two reads, and he's going to throw the ball in a place where it's going to be. If you've got a quarterback like that that's going to throw the ball at a certain spot and expect for your receivers to run with it, great. But the Jaguars, man, they have too much talent on this team to be running a zone. They are fast everywhere. They got the defensive line that's going to, you know, cause the pressure. They've got the linebackers who are going to get places. I mean, you heard Leon Jacobs' names being heard. Quincy Williams had a pretty good game. I think he led the team in tackling. And then on top of that, with Trey Herndon and Ramsey, you held the Texans to like 9 catches for don't quote me, but I mean, it was just a ridiculous amount of production coming from Trey Herndon and Jalen Ramsey compared to the week before what they did against New Orleans. I could have swore Deshaun Watson was going to light this team up. And then if they didn't play to their capabilities and the defense actually, you know, came in and played a decent, you know, day. And it's just crazy, man, to lose like that. It's just, especially when they want to run a zone.
I'll tell you right now, man, the Titans are, they've been just a pain in our butt, man, for years. Okay, we go back 20 years this year. And this was just a wrong time to be having, you know, these discussions, these issues. Mariota seems like that nerve problem from last year's gone. You know, still obviously have Derrick Henry. And they just find ways to win games. Yeah. And they're sitting there saying, I heard on one of the local radio stations, they were going to talk to someone about what the Titans think about this. Why do we care what the Titans think about this, man? Like, why do we care? We know how they think. They love it. They're like, come home, Jalen. Come home. You know, they're like those bunch of idiots down there. Like, why would you even let's call up somebody from Titan? Like, that's just stupid. Yeah. We know how they feel. Okay, they want to see us struggle. They want to see our fans, you know, basically getting upset like we have been. And they're going to come down here and they're going to whoop us again because we got a coach that can't get along with his players. And that's just a fact, man. It's just a fact.
And what I was just starting to say was they held DeAndre Hopkins and Will Fuller 9 catches, 80 yards. Wow. Insane.
Yeah. That's crazy.
How do you guys think the turnout's going to be Thursday night for the game? I know I can't make it because I have classes and stuff, so I'm out, unfortunately. But
nerd.
Yeah. Okay. Great.
Hey man. Hey man. Don't knock the scholar over there. He's going to be the one of those. Never mind. But I bet you it's going to be a good turnout because Thursday night, something to do. You know, I've said it before. This is a fad town, man. People go with what's popular.
And it's not going to be hot.
Yeah, right. Yeah, that too. So you got an excuse. I get to get off work early, go tailgate. This might be Jalen's last game. Go boo him. Go to the buzz zone.
No,
get a beer. Come back. Boo him some more.
Oh, they're gonna bro. Every time he makes a play,
there's gonna be some people out there booing him. They're gonna boo him. It's gonna be split 50-50. The crowd's gonna boo him. Half the crowd's gonna boo Marrone, and then the whole crowd's gonna boo the Titans. So there's just going to be a bunch of boos. And then if we score, you know, Minshew, you know, you'll see the mustaches and all that around. But, man, it just couldn't have come at a worse time.
The thing that aggravates me the most, too, is that, like, where – so if you do beat Tennessee tomorrow, if you do beat them, right, the next game is against Denver, who's currently 0-2. Week after that, I think it's Carol – week after that is it – Carolina? Yeah, Carolina. Not doing good. Cam Newton is hurt. And the week after that, you've got Drew Brees, or excuse me, you got the Drew Brees-less Saints, you know, after that as well. I mean, what an awesome time to turn the season around and take the season back. Most of the people and most of the NFL, you know, people out there said that this team had the potential to be 10-6. And that's with, you know, decent quarterback play coming from Nick Foles. In my opinion, Minshew, he's not Nick Foles, but he hasn't lost us any games.
Yeah.
The two games that we lost were because the Chiefs came out, and the Chiefs are currently just godly right now. And the second game that we lost was because of poor coaching. None of them have anything to do with Gardner Minshew.
Yeah. It puts a shadow on so much positive momentum, you know, although we lost the game. Shark, DJ Shark.
Man. Oh, man.
Dude, hey, I tell you, I was wrong, man. I hope he continues to play the way he's been playing. It's amazing. Marquise Lee can sit on the bench and go somewhere, you know. See, that's another thing. Think about that, Corey. You mentioned earlier, like, you know, why? What's with the camaraderie? Why they're so mad? Whatever, whoop de whoop. And I'm not saying I don't know their relationship, so you really can't even speak on it. But even Marquise Lee got paid.
Yeah, that's true.
Marquise Lee played like a half a game in 2 years, or however long it's been since he's played a game. You know.
Yeah.
Where
is he, by the way? When is he?
He's hurt
back?
Again. He came back. He played a couple snaps in the first game, and then he got hurt again. His knee's still bothering him.
I mean, right now you're working off Chris Conley and DJ Chark, and honestly, and Westbrook, and Chris Conley just has basically just shown you that there's too many weapons in KC. They just can't give the ball enough. I mean, when you got DeMarcus Robinson, who played at Florida, making plays, I mean, that's deep. So, yeah, Conley has stepped up also and made some big grabs. Even though he did have one drop on Sunday that was just hit him right in the hands. And it's just like, you know, but I think Minshew made it up the next play, so I wasn't really too terribly upset about it. But, yeah, yeah. Man, is the O-line? O-line, really quick before we wrap up. How's the O-line going to play tomorrow?
You know, I'll tell you, they did okay against the Texans. They did okay, as good as they can do. And obviously we have holes in the line because we have some injuries, you know, going on right now. So continue to play, you know, better. I know that Tennessee usually gets up for that, you know, as far as playing us, because they feel that our O-line's weak and quarterback play is even weaker. But I hope, you know, Casey and them really do talk trash to Minshew, because they're going to find out really quick, man. That young man doesn't care. He don't care about nothing. You can see it in his eyes, man. He doesn't care. He fumbled the ball 3 times last week.
Yeah, he didn't seem rattled.
Yeah, he didn't care. He didn't care. He just went right back to the bench like, hey, where'd that come from? Whoop, whoop, okay, good. And got back up. I'm like, dude, this is amazing. This is great.
So I mean, I think they played like crap. Just because they couldn't get any push off the ball, man. I mean, but again, decimated with injuries. I agree. But I mean, I think it comes back to full strength with Cam. Obehi will be back as well for this game. So yeah, man. I mean, it's just, well, I can't stress it enough, bro. They gotta beat the Titans, man. This is 2 years going. You just gotta beat the team. I want to say they beat them, but then again, man, I think it's just I think Tennessee comes in here and just eats our lunch again.
Yeah, I think we're gonna get blown out.
Yeah, and that could happen. I just say that with the O line, man, because of the fact that we were texting about this during the game. The play calling was so predictable. Like, how many times do you think we ran on first down?
Yeah,
especially in the first half.
Oh, my gosh, it was every first down.
Yeah,
every first down they ran.
So you look at it from a, you know, predictability standpoint, and I thought DeFilippo was supposed to come in here and, you know, change some things up. And I get we have the rookie quarterback. I'm curious to see how much you know, Marone really playing into, hey, dial it back some, you know, protect the guy, you know, only give him so many packages or whatnot of plays. So that's why I think the O-line did as good as they could do. I'll take it. It was a crap job. You were right, but I'll take it. But dang it, let's just go out and freaking win.
Yeah, they got to. I mean, they have. DeFilippo has got to let Minshew loose, man. Mm-hmm. He really does. He's got to let him loose. They've got to start running some things. They've got to start really just letting teams know that he has a threat and he can actually throw the ball and make a really good decision in throwing the ball. I think he's proved it. I think he's shown that he has a little bit of escapability. When he got away from Merciless and J.J. Watt last week, bro,
that was cool.
That is a sack all day long. If you got Merciless on your back and J.J. Watt, you know, still trying to, you know, bring you down, you will your way to that. And then after all that drive that he had, we're shotgun draw to Fournette, bro. Like, that is so comical, man. As soon as they handed the ball off, I swear I walked straight upstairs and went to bed. I knew that it wasn't gonna happen. I knew he wasn't gonna get in. I knew it.
So you didn't even watch the end of the play. You just got up
as soon as I was standing up. I was standing up in front of my TV. As soon as I saw them hand the ball off, because I thought it could have been like a play action. As soon as I saw him hand the ball off, and I saw Fournette out of the pile, I went right upstairs immediately. Went upstairs immediately. Like, I just knew he wasn't gonna get it.
Yeah, that's really funny, actually. Well, great. Good. This is a great season so far. I'm really excited.
Oh, man. Well, I hope everybody, you know, either goes to the game or shows your support. They're going to need it. And we'll see what happens if Jalen's last hurrah, if he plays, you know. Do you think he plays? Do you guys think he plays?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, if you heard Todd Walsh, he is taking notes in practice. So,
bro, and that's another thing too. I don't get, if you're going to trade this guy by Friday, why would you go out and make him play on Thursday night? Worst case scenario, what if he gets hurt? There goes all of your trade capital. That goes all of your incentive. That goes everything. And if they're thinking about trading this guy, another reason why I'm not excited about the picks as well is because they haven't done well with having the draft picks. So, well, like, you're basically trading Jalen Ramsey for a ham sandwich and a bag of Fritos right now, because the way that the front office picks. That's why they got to go too.
Yeah. Oh, man. Well, it's gonna be interesting. It's gonna be very interesting tomorrow. I hope everyone tunes in. Don't forget, man, make sure you give us a 5-star rating on iTunes, you know, SoundCloud, wherever. You know, we get some funny ones. I think we got one last week. A guy said we didn't know what we were talking about, but that's okay. Yes,
funny.
Yeah,
that's it.
Yeah, it's pretty comical. You know, I love his username too. It's the generic username. It's probably somebody that just doesn't like us that just signed up just to hate on us really quick. But anyway,
that was a SoundCloud commenter, so I don't really count those, to be honest with you. Like so, SoundCloud rappers, you know, that kind of thing.
Wow.
Oh, gosh.
All right, man. Well, hey, guys, thanks for listening. We really appreciate it. And, you know, hey, go Jags, and we'll talk to you soon.